Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
It's one of those items that catches your attention and might even cause your eyebrow to raise slightly when you read it. Last month, an editorial in the Canadian Medical Association, Interim Editor-in-Chief Dr. Rajendra Kale called on healthcare professions not to reveal the sex of the fetus to any woman before, say, 30 weeks of pregnancy, because such information is medically irrelevant and, in some cases, harmful. Kale, who was born and raised in India, tackles directly those who are skeptical female feticide is occurring in Canada and the United States, or who believe it is too small a problem to bother with. He writes, "Female feticide happens in India and China by the millions, but also happens in North America in numbers large enough to distort the male-to-female ratio in some ethnic groups. Should female feticide in Canada be ignored because it is a small problem localized to minority ethnic groups? No, small numbers cannot be ignored when the issue is about discrimination against women in its most extreme form. This evil devalues women." You might recall that last July, we discussed a study in the British medical journal, The Lancet, which reported that there are now 7.1 fewer girls than boys up to the age of 6 in India. Put another way, there are 914 girls younger than 6 for every 1,000 boys, the lowest ratio since 1947. And according to CNN, selective abortion accounts for 2-4% of female pregnancies, and the practice has increased by a massive 170% in the last decade. And now, as Kale writes in the Canadian Medical Association Journal, studies in both Canada and a smaller one in the United States suggest that sex-selective abortion has reached North America. Based on a 2009 study by the National Bureau of Economic Research, the strongest evidence for this of sex selection is by people from India, China, Korea, Vietnam, and the Philippines. What this means is that many couples who have 2 daughters and no son selectively get rid of female fetuses until they can ensure that their 3rd-born child is a boy, Kale writes. The editorial also highlights a recent U.S. study involving a small sample of 65 women of Indian descent and a male-biased sex ratios among U.S.-born children of Asian parents in the 2000 census. As evidence, sex selection abortions are occurring in the United States. The study showed that 40% of these women had aborted a female child at some point, and that 89% of those who knew they were pregnant with the girl were seeking an abortion. The studies cited by Kale echoes the Lancet study last year and others that have been published in recent years. We know from reports that in China, for example, the ratio is 100 girls for every 170 boys, up from a ratio of 100-117 just 5 years ago. And in some provinces of China, the ratios are even more dramatic. As Dr. Kale indicates, the practice is not unheard of in the United States and Canada, as more immigrants arrive bringing their male-biased customs in tow. Only 4 states, by the way, have banned the practice of sex selection abortion in the United States. So why does Dr. Kale suggest not revealing a child's sex until 30 weeks? At that juncture, Kale writes, an unquestioned abortion is all but impossible. Postponing the time when such information is provided is a reasonable ethical compromise. It would still allow prospective parents enough time to prepare the nursery. A story by Derek Abma and Robert Hiltz for the Canadian-based Post Media News ended by asking Kale if he expected his editorial to garner a negative reaction from pro-choice and women's rights advocates. Kale replied that female feticide is the worst form of discrimination against women. They're saying to women, we don't want you, and that's extreme.
For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.